And it's definitely going to be a lot of fun, so we had to bring in the big guns. Jesse Palmer, good to see you as always, Jesse. Have fun down there tonight. We're so excited for this game. And obviously, two heavyweights at the quarterback position. Which quarterback do you think is going to have the bigger impact, though?
I think it's going to be Mac Jones from Alabama, and he's simply been at the helm of arguably what's been the greatest offense we've ever seen in college football. Mac Jones has played at such a high level consistently week in, week out throughout this entire season. A guy that's completing 77% of his throws, he's thrown 36 touchdowns versus only 4 interceptions, and he does a lot of the things that you look at, jumps out on you in film, with arm strength, accuracy, and touch, but to me, it's some of the finer points that sometimes are difficult to coach. His anticipation and getting the ball out before his receivers turn around is as good as I've seen in college football in a very, very long time. He's going up against an Ohio State secondary that's been average at best. Ohio State does have a good pass rush up front. Mac Jones, I think, is going to have to play at a very high level tonight to win.
But I'd say the same about Justin Fields as well. He doesn't have a 1,000-yard receiver this year. Obviously, Alabama does not have that problem with Devontae Smith, who is an absolute stud. And Lord help them if Jalen Waddle comes back tonight. We don't know after that ankle injury in week 8. But I want to, the name Patrick Surtain jumps to my mind because we mentioned so much about Jones, about Najee Harris, about Devontae Smith. We don't mention what this dude does defensively for Alabama. You put him on an island. The dude hasn't given up much. He hasn't committed one penalty at the cornerback spot this entire season thus far. I mean, when I look at him and the way he is a clear shutdown corner, how much of an effect do you think that's going to have on what Ohio State does tonight, particularly in the case of Justin Fields?
Well, tons, because Patrick Surtain's a guy that essentially just eliminates one side of the field. He is the best cornerback in college football, period. He has great size, he has length and speed, and he can eliminate wide receivers. Now, keep in mind, there are going to be times where he matches up with Chris Olave from Ohio State tonight. In my mind, one of the best deep threats in all of college football. So that matchup, number 2 for Ohio State against number 2 for Alabama, that's going to be key to watch because Justin Fields likes to take shots. I don't think Justin Fields is afraid of anybody. I don't expect him to be afraid of Surtain tonight. But when you see that matchup 2 versus 2, that to me is the best matchup on the field tonight.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about the Ohio State offense, but what about the defense? Stephen A. mentioned it. You think Waddle's going to come back? And if he does, what does that mean for Alabama's offense?
Well, it's huge. Alabama, in terms of what they already have, and Devontae Smith and John Metchie and Billingsley is this 6'4", 230-pound tight end that's now running like a receiver, and you've seen his skill set and kind of his role go up. Jalen Waddle is one of the most explosive players in college football when he's healthy, period, all right? You know the adage in football, speed kills. This is a 4.37 40 guy that can catch bubble screens and go deep on double moves and take it to the house every single time he touches the ball. Steve Sarkisian's shown us they can move number 17 around. You'll see him in the slot. You'll see him outside. They motion him to the backfield and give him handoffs. So if 17 plays, that's a major problem for Ohio State. But I still think Jalen Waddle, even if he's not 100%, guys, could have a big impact in this game. If I was Steve Sarkisian, I would just use him as a decoy and try to get the defense's attention away from a Najee Harris or away from a Devontae Smith. I think if 17 dresses up and plays tonight, he has an impact regardless.
Let me put you on the spot here, Jesse, about the Ohio State Buckeyes. Does Alabama even need Jalen Waddle to beat them?
Yeah, they do. They do. I get really nervous about Ohio State's mentality when they're an underdog and they feel disrespected. They have the ability, it seems, to always circle the wagons and go prove the world wrong. And we saw that against Clemson in the semifinal game. Nobody gave them a chance. Dabo Swinney had them ranked 11 in his poll. A lot of people said, well, if you only play 6 games, you shouldn't even get into the playoff. They wanted revenge based on what happened in the previous semifinal back in 2019, and they came out and they played their most complete game. Justin Fields got injured, wasn't 100%. That was the best I'd ever seen Justin Fields throw the ball. They're 8.5-point dogs tonight. Everybody's saying Alabama's a more complete team. Ryan Day has said this before. if there's one game to play, I like the Buckeyes because of the talent, and he gets his team to play angry when they feel disrespected. So Alabama needs to watch out. Ohio State can win this game tonight.
Jesse, what's your prediction on the game?
I'm going to go Alabama. I'm expecting a lot of points, Max. But at the end of the day, I think the way Mac Jones has played and just this offense in general, they're so explosive. They can score points in such a wide variety of ways. We talked about the struggles Ohio State has had back in the secondary defensively. And just the fact that Justin Fields is not 100%. I expect him to play well, but I do think Alabama's defense is going to get that one extra crucial stop. I just think this is too complete of a team, too talented, too much first-round NFL talent on both sides of the ball. So I'm going to take
Waddle doesn't play,
in a high-scoring game.
But you said if Waddle doesn't play, you don't like him to win? Okay, gotcha.
No, if Waddle doesn't play, I'm still going tight.
All right, Bama favored by more than a touchdown. Jesse Palmer, do me a favor. Get some sunshine for me and enjoy the game. We'll be watching. Thanks for being with us.
I'm Canadian, so I'm going to try not to get sunburned. Guys, I appreciate it.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
How about Josh Allen, fellas, posting better than a 74% completion percentage, best in Buffalo Bills postseason history? Bills Mafia's got to be pretty fired up today. Max, I'll start with you. Can Josh Allen lead this team to the Super Bowl this season?
Oh, yeah. Yes, he can. I mean, if you don't have Patrick Mahomes, how many young quarterbacks would you take over Josh Allen? A couple? Deshaun Watson? Of the young guys, that's it. And maybe by the end of next year, you'll take Justin Herbert. But right now, I'd take Josh Allen third among the young guys. And even if you threw in the older guys, he's top five, top six at worst. And the Bills are the Bills in most departments are a competent team. And then they have a stud franchise quarterback who keeps getting better and better. His rookie season, you know, his touchdown and interception ratio about 1-1. His next year, about 2-1. Now it's better than 3-1. He goes from a guy who's not ready to a kind of low average starter to a guy who they were talking about as an MVP candidate, in 3 years. And he's still getting better. By the way, Josh Allen can run the ball. He's a big, strong kid. He can run the ball and seems to know when to do it. Has like a nose for it. Yeah, they can win the Super Bowl. Stephen A., I'm taking the Chiefs to beat everybody. But when I look at the teams that that could possibly upset them, the Bills are very high on the list.
Damn, Max, I thought you was going to at least give me Obama. It's not about yes, he will. It's about yes, we can. That's what I thought you were going to say. But let me tell you this, Max Kellerman, it doesn't matter. Guess what? The answer would be an unequivocal no. Because guess what? You got to win the Super Bowl, you got to get to the AFC Championship game first. How the hell are you going to do that getting through the Baltimore Ravens? I don't see that happening. Listen, I love Josh Allen. I love what I've seen from him. You throw for over 4,500 yards, 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. I like this kid. He's got a bright future. He's in the conversation for league MVP, obviously not ahead of Patrick Mahomes, certainly not ahead of Aaron Rodgers. To me, not even ahead of Derrick Henry. We get all of that. But in the end, you've made it by having a primary target in Stephon Diggs, who had about 120 receptions for about 1,535 yards. And then he just had six receptions for like 128 the other day and missed you throwing over 300 yards. It's all nice, fine, and dandy. Here's the problem. You are going up against a Baltimore Ravens defense that is number two in the entire National Football League, number six against the pass, number eight against the rush. They are a complete defensive football team. And one man, even though it's that brother, Stephon Diggs, who is something special, absolutely something special, even though it's him, I don't know if I'm going to anticipate Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs being that matchup nightmare that the Baltimore Ravens can't handle. I don't see them handling Kansas City. You and I both have Kansas City beating everybody. But I got to be honest with you. I'm not sure Buffalo is going to have what it takes. Now that Lamar Jackson has got that monkey off of his back, that proverbial monkey off of his back, he having won a playoff game, how that pressure ultimately has dissipated dramatically, him going up against the Buffalo Bills and being able to create the havoc that he's going to be able to create combined with that defense, I'm sorry, I just don't see it. Buffalo got their first playoff victory in decades. Major props to them. The future is bright because they got a new star at quarterback and certainly a star wide receiver in Stephon Diggs. And they're not a bad team at all by any stretch of the imagination. But too many times, on too many occasions, they do just enough to win, as opposed to really handle their business in terms of issuing statement kind of games. I think Baltimore obviously is going to give them a lot of trouble. I don't see a Super Bowl in the Bills' picture this year, not even close.
No. You have a short memory because last week of the season against the Dolphins team that needed it, they stomped them out. They beat the brakes.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about the Dolphins.
Breaks off Miami.
I wasn't thinking about the Dolphins. Well, it was an afterthought.
Oh, okay, but that's the game before last, and they just beat
just
a good
saying,
playoff
games,
team
Max,
just now.
When your quarterback's passing for 93 yards and you winning games that way, when you can't make up your mind who the starting quarterback is, whether it's Fitzpatrick or Tua Tagovailoa and stuff like that, I'm not going to be sold on you in that regard. That's all I'm saying.
Double-digit win team.
I'm just saying that's how I feel about
Dolphins,
Miami right now.
The Dolphins had
in the right
quality,
direction, but that's how I feel.
Oh, that's
about
fine.
It.
But the Dolphins had quality wins this season. But the Bills did not let that be a competitive game. And the Bills were resting their starters in that game in the second half, and the Dolphins were playing for their lives. And it still didn't matter. The point is, you mentioned the Bills don't make statement games. That was a statement game. And just winning their last game against a well-balanced and good playoff team was a statement game. And you bring up Stephon Diggs. Like, how many better quarterback-receiver combos are there in the league? You have Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, and who else? Would you say, yeah, that's definitively better? Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams? I mean, like, you're really talking about Josh Allen. If he's not quite in that Mahomes-Rodgers category, he's leading the next tier. And that's what it's about. Really, that's what it's about. When you're talking at this level in the playoffs, you look at the quarterback you believe can get it done. Maybe that's Lamar Jackson with that Ravens defense. You're right. But if Lamar were to do it, he'd be the first playing in that style to do it. Mahomes, we just see, is like, wow, we know what a quarterback's supposed to look like, and that's the best we've seen, unless it's Aaron Rodgers. And Josh Allen is more like those guys. It's who you want in this situation.
For the purposes of clarification, I don't blame you for getting on me about that, because the win over Seattle earlier when they beat them 44-34, that was a statement win. But just to let you know my thinking, when they end the season on a six-game winning streak, or really a six-game winning streak to end the regular season, they beat the Chargers, the 49ers, the Steelers when the Steelers were nosediving and everybody expected the Steelers to lose because they just didn't look it and they had injuries to Denver, New England, and of course, Miami. You want to look at Miami, fine. I don't view it that way. I understand where you're coming from, but I recognize that they won those games. It's just that those teams, to me, were going this way. That's why I didn't feel that way.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You know, I still have a year left on my contract. I hope the Steelers want me back if that's the way we go. And there'll be a lot of discussions, but now's not the time for that.
It's the time for that with us, though. Look who's here. Ryan Clark, RC, good to see you. Super Bowl champ with the Steelers.
Good to see you.
I will get to you in just a moment, sir.
Don't smile. There's nothing to smile about. You know, you and I both know there's nothing
Stephen
to smile
A.
about. There's nothing to smile about.
I want to start with you, and I want to talk about Big Ben. How should the Steelers feel about their quarterback after last night's performance?
Well, they shouldn't feel too damn good. They were 11-0. And they ended the regular season losing 4 or 5 games. And then yesterday they lost their first playoff game where he threw 4 interceptions and they were down 28-0 in the first quarter. All totaled in 7 games, he's thrown 10 interceptions in the last 7 games of the season. And so I think you have to reflect on that. And then you have to look and scour the league and think about the people that are truly, truly successful. Patrick Mahomes is an exceptional quarterback, but he's also someone who's capable of using his legs to make things happen, moving the chains. You look at Lamar Jackson, that speaks for itself because of his running ability. You look at Aaron Rodgers, that speaks for itself. Drew Brees and Tom Brady would be the admirations because they're not scrambling on anybody, but you get that point. Then you have to remember how Taysom Hill looked when he was filling in for Drew Brees because of his ability to run the football. It's not so much that Ben Roethlisberger is some scrub or something. He's a 2-time Super Bowl champion. He's a future Hall of Famer. We respect him. We understand what he's brought to the game of football. And it's not like he's Peyton Manning from 2015 or so, where the skills had so clearly and flagrantly dissipated, where you had Rob Ninkovich coming on national television the other day acknowledging that as a defense in New England, we knew that Peyton Manning couldn't throw the ball 20 yards, and so we planned accordingly. That clearly is not the case with Big Ben Roethlisberger. But nevertheless, you do have to ask yourself at some point, when do you move in a different direction? Because he's not the person that Big Ben who could shrug off tacklers and extend plays the way that he used to, which, by the way, makes him a stationary target. Yet a stationary target that's not nearly as accurate and precise as that of a Drew Brees. And so when I look at it from that perspective, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you could get your hands on a Mac Jones out of Alabama, for example, and he can fall into your lap as the future of this franchise, I certainly would strongly consider moving on from Big Ben Roethlisberger at that particular time. And if nothing else, don't look past this next season in terms of keeping him around. I do think that his days are close to being over, the Big Ben that we knew and loved.
Well, I think Roethlisberger left it all out on the field, and that's the thing. That's what he's got at this point. He's made to look worse because the offensive line can't protect him, can't block for the run, can't give the receivers time to get down the field for the most part. And there's no AB on the team anymore. If you look, if Roethlisberger was in Brady's position, I don't think he'd be doing as well as Brady, but he'd be doing, at this point, he'd do better. If they protected him, if they could run the ball a little bit, if they had receivers everywhere you looked, I think Roethlisberger would look better than he looked. Like he gave it what he had. Nevertheless, this has been going on all season. He doesn't look good throwing the ball down the field. He had a remarkable season for a 38-year-old coming off catastrophic injury who completely changed his style of play. The question is, when you look at that guy, do you think you can win a Super Bowl with that? I don't think so.
Yeah, Big Ben's decline in play is really a symptom of the major problem in Pittsburgh. And when I look at these two teams, the Cleveland Browns now are kind of what the Pittsburgh Steelers used to be, at least offensively. You know, offensively, the Pittsburgh Steelers were death row, right? They were going to be physical. They were going to bludgeon you. They were going to run the football. They were going to have a quarterback who was tough and gritty and who could make enough plays. And, you know, you felt kind of like the other side was bad boy. Now the Steelers are bad boy. The Steelers got a wide receiver dancing all in the videos and doing all those things. And it really struck me after the game when the Cleveland Browns were mocking the Pittsburgh Steelers, when Jarvis Landry and when Kareem Hunt are in the locker room, you know, Corvette, Corvette. And when Baker Mayfield is saying same old Browns, Myles Garrett saying that same thing in his post-game interview, this team isn't scaring people anymore. They aren't more physical. They aren't dominant. They aren't the big brothers of this division. And I think that falls on Ben as well. If I gave you a hat, Max and Stephen A., Molly, if I gave you a hat and I put the four quarterbacks in the AFC North in it and we all had to go play a game, each of us would be praying that the quarterback we pulled wasn't Ben Roethlisberger. And that's how far he's fallen. You'd want Lamar first. You'd want Baker Mayfield first. You'd even want Joe Burrow first. And I'm talking about for a year, not for the future. You'd want them for the year. And so when you look at Ben counting $41 million against the cap next year, what this team looks like with him, it's not just about what do you do with Ben Roethlisberger. It's about what do you do with this offense. You have an aging offensive line. You don't have a number one back. And you have wide receivers that are sometimes unreliable. And so when you look at what the end of this season was for the Pittsburgh Steelers, yeah, it was on Ben. He didn't necessarily play well, but you knew who he was at the beginning of the season. Yet you threw the ball plus 40 times a game, 60 in the last game of the season in the playoffs. You can't do that. He can't do that. So, yes, Big Ben's play has declined, but I agree with Max. If you had the right situation around him, I think he could be successful, but you don't. And in not having that, it's time to rebuild. And so it's time to find you a quarterback of the future. The problem with me is that Kevin Colbert, the GM of the Pittsburgh Steelers, hasn't found that quarterback already like we see many other teams doing.
He absolutely has not, and that's a big, big problem. Make no mistake about it. But the other thing that I'd like to point out is that the Steelers, the crime that they've committed more than anything else is the loss of their identity. To not be able to run the football for three consecutive years is inexcusable. They have ranked 29, 30, or 31, 29, and then 32 this year. That is just horrific, and that is not the Steelers' identity. If you can't run the football, you can't take any kind of pressure off of Ben Roethlisberger whatsoever, because all you're asking him to do is carry the load even more than he was accustomed to for the first decade plus of his career. And by doing so, you know he's prone to make mistakes, which is why he's never been mentioned in the same breath as the Tom Brady. It's not because he can't have those heroic moments. It's not because he can't put up big numbers. It's because you know that with Big Ben Roethlisberger, even though he's going to do more good than bad, a mistake is inevitable. It's what he does. It's just that customarily you had a defense and you had a running game to offset the impact of those mistakes. The Steelers don't have that now, and I don't think that is ever, I think this is the first time that I've ever looked at the Pittsburgh Steelers football team and I felt like the team was soft. Like there were other teams that were significantly more physical than them. And you combine that with Juju Smith-Schuster. Well, he's young and we get it and he's opened his mouth. But Ryan, you're a Super Bowl champion with the Steelers. That's just not something the Steelers ever did. They just went out there. They waited for you on a Thursday night or a Sunday or a Monday night. And they were like, okay, We'll see you. We heard you, and we'll see you.
Let's get to it.
It's not usually them talking.
Yep.
They're usually responding to somebody who did some talking. And, oh, by the way, that was rare because people knew better than talking smack to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But now they're the ones doing the talking, and they're the ones not backing it up.
Since you guys are talking Steelers and who could, you know, like, what does the future look, right? Like, if Roethlisberger's declining, what do? They're a victim of their own success in a way. You know, Roethlisberger's a top 10 pick. He was in a quarterback-rich class with Eli and Phillip Rivers. And when you're never below 500, and when you don't use any excuses, you just go out and compete and almost always make the playoffs, like Mike Tomlin does, you do not have good draft position to grab a quarterback. Now, by the way, just like the Patriots, they had to try to kind of hope Garoppolo could turn into something, right? Because they always have winning records. Correct. Those kind of teams, I know Brady was a late round pick, and you can find guys later in the draft. We brought up Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott today and on Friday and everything. But usually the best quarterbacks are the very high draft pick. Pittsburgh don't have those guys. And by the way, I'm not convinced with no quarterback, Tomlin's going to be below 500. He didn't have a quarterback 2 years ago. He was 8-8. That's the real problem Pittsburgh faces now.
Well, there's one play last night to me that totally identifies who the Pittsburgh Steelers are now as compared to the Cleveland Browns. Even at the quarterback position, Baker Mayfield scrambles out of the pocket on the third down. He's being chased by Edmonds, right? And he's also being chased by Minkah Fitzpatrick. That's the two safeties of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that position is sacred to me. And instead of Baker Mayfield sliding, instead of Baker Mayfield getting out of bounds, he had the nerve, he had the gumption. Actually, he had the guts. Let me not make it like a negative. He had the guts. He had the courage to say, I'm going to dive for the sticks, and I'm going to get it. I don't care which two safeties are chasing me. I'm a tougher player than you. I want this first down more than you want to stop me, and I'm going to go get it. See, I was used to seeing Ben Roethlisberger go get that. And I was used to seeing that when two safeties wearing black and gold were chasing a dude to the sideline, he either understood he better get down, he better get out of bounds, or he gonna get put to sleep. That's all changed. And the Pittsburgh Steelers have to get back to that identity of saying that if you're gonna come on this grass, you are going to have to beat me physically. And that's gonna be a tall task. Right now, that's not it. It starts at the quarterback position, but it's organizational. And that has to change if they want to get back to the Super Bowl.
All right, fair enough. Let's keep it rolling here, fellas. I want to get into another AFC story here. So could Deshaun Watson's relationship with the Texans be officially strained? Last week, we found out Watson was bothered by the team not considering or consulting him in the process of hiring former Pats executive Nick Caserio for the Texans GM position. Meanwhile, over the weekend, our Chris Mortensen tweeting this. You can see it right there. Sources say Watson could play hardball with the Texans about a trade. His new $156 million contract includes a no-trade clause, but in form speculation from a source is that he would consider the Miami Dolphins, in which Tua and additional compensation goes to Houston. The plot thickens, Max Kellerman. Talk to me. How should Deshaun feel about Houston now?
Deshaun Watson should want out of Houston. He should want out of Houston. The way they've treated him is like, and I know it's the NFL and not the NBA, but for some players, you have, I mentioned this last week. Think about the most the most valuable trading commodities in the NFL. Who has the most value? Patrick Mahomes, because Aaron Rodgers is 37. Russell Wilson's 32. Patrick Mahomes is number one. He's better than those guys anyway, I believe. He's number one. Who's number two? I think it's Deshaun Watson. I think other than Mahomes, he is the most valuable in that way. Piece in the NFL. You don't consult him. He finds out through the media that his receiver, who's one of the best ever, at least one of the best pairs of hands ever, sets of hands ever, and his boy gets traded. You don't, not only do you not consult him about the GM, but you pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to a firm that recommends a GM, and instead you turn that guy down and make a last second decision, and Deshaun Watson's totally out of the loop. No, to hell with that. I mean, really, other than Watson, you have Josh Allen, who's also great and young. And I would say Justin Herbert, who's, by the way, still on his rookie deal and by next year might be pushing those guys. He's so talented. But when you're maybe the second most valuable commodity in the game and they treat you that way, get out of there.
Houston, we have a problem. And I will say this. you know, and I say this in all serious, Ryan, especially to you. I say this on this show right now because it's something important that happened. They say that Deshaun Watson is happy for a lot of the reasons that Max just articulated. But in the end, what it comes down to is that Deshaun Watson has a problem with this organization and the direction that it's going in. The fact that Miami is a desired destination, they have an African-American GM in Chris Greer and an African-American coach in Brian Flores. Mm-hmm. They're the only team in the National Football League who has that, along with Stephen Ross and the things that he's done from a philanthropic standpoint in the community as it pertains to the African-American community. Think about that as the owner for the Miami Dolphins. Think about that. It's one thing to want out of Houston because of their clear ineptitude. It's one thing to want out of Houston because Bill O'Brien traded away your boy DeAndre Hopkins. It's another thing entirely in the aftermath of social justice issues and what have you, with Deshaun Watson having spoken out against those things, with stories leaking that he doesn't believe the organization gets it. And he is a top quarterback in the National Football League who happens to be black, who you just invested $156 million to. And he believes that you, as an organization, are desensitized or desensitive or not sensitive enough to the issues that are percolating in our society. And he's using your actions as an organization, who you've hired, who you've fired, who you've let go, who you've kept on board, et cetera, et cetera. These are the things that he's saying. And then when you point out where he wants to go to, you see that he's a conscientious observer, not just an elite football player. When you combine that with the fact that the great J.J. Watt, and I'm talking about the greatness of J.J. Watt, the player, and the greatness of J.J. Watt, the person. We know what kind of person he's proven to be. It's well documented. He probably wants out, too. If you're the Houston Texans organization, you need to understand that the nation, the football world, is looking at you right now as an organization, and they've got some serious question marks about who you are. This is not Deshaun Watson just, I'm just not happy because we had a 4-12 season. That's not what he's done. They've lost before. They've missed the playoffs before. This is not just about that. This is something extra, and it tells me that there's something going on in Houston where essentially they've got the mentality shut up and dribble. Not literally, of course, because this is football. But in other words, you're an athlete. We pay you to play, shut up, play, and leave the decision-making to us. That's what everything points to right now when it comes to the Houston Texans, which means that if Deshaun Watson keeps making noise about this, there's a whole bunch of people that ain't going to want to have anything to do with that organization.
Stephen A., I think it's so important that you pointed those things out about Miami, right? Because the first thing anybody hears when they hear he wants to go to Miami is what? Oh, it's Miami. Why would
South
anyone
Beach.
Want to go play there, right? And then you think about Greer as the GM. You think about Flores as the head coach and Deshaun Watson understanding these things. You think about where the Houston Texans as a family and as an organization, as an ownership group, stood during the social injustice, not allowing the inmates to run the prison. And now I think people don't necessarily understand the situation between Cal McNair and Deshaun Watson. So here's the situation. Deshaun Watson is not saying that you should have treated him any differently. Deshaun Watson is saying you should have kept your word. Right? Because people are going to throw it back where he's just a football player. He's just a quarterback. They don't owe him anything. No, they don't. But they do owe him honesty. And if you go to the man and say, you are going to be involved in this process, we will keep you up to date with the things that are happening, then that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be a man of integrity. You're supposed to be a man of your word if you're Cal McNair. And then when you hire a firm, and that firm has two minorities, Omar Khan, who I know very well, who works for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who's from New Orleans, by the way, and Louis Riddick are the two top guys they give you, and you say, you know what, scrap that. I'm going to go with Nick Casillary from the New England Patriots because that's what I feel. Casario, yep. I'm sorry, Casario, because that's what I feel, right? Because that's what's familiar. And when you're Deshaun Watson and you see these things and you've spoken up for Eric Bieniemy, you understand that there were two minority candidates that were ahead of the candidate that was actually picked to run your team. You can only feel one way. You can only feel that this isn't a place that puts you first. This isn't a place that not only prioritizes you as a player, but doesn't prioritize you as a person. And when you see things like that going on, you want out. When you're a guy who rode on a bus to play a game because you couldn't breathe, because your lung was punctured, and you've given this team not only everything you possibly could as a quarterback, but everything you possibly could as a person, you deserve better. And when you have the type of cachet and you have the type of leverage that Deshaun Watson has, you got to use it. And this is his time.
Well, not just that, Ryan Clark. It's also this reality as well. You got to remember, Bill O'Brien, even though he was at Penn State, he ultimately comes from that New England tree. And what have the Texans been accused of? Trying to be patriot wannabes, you know, wannabe patriots, rather. That's where Casario comes from. Now, I don't know the man personally. I don't know anything about his resume. You know, you take them at their word. But the reason why it's so important to point that out was because Bill O'Brien, no matter what kind of football reason he tried to come up with, all indications pointed to him not having the best relationship with DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes.
And that is why DeAndre Hopkins is in an Arizona Cardinals uniform. Well, what about Deshaun Watson? Not only is that his boy, they both came from the same university at Clemson. Both played for Dabo Sweeney and all of this other stuff. Both all-world players. But one's a wide receiver, one's the quarterback, and they were that tight. Why would you disrupt that chemistry? There's no excuse for it. So what you're thinking of, if you get somebody like Casario to come in and he's from that Patriots tree, if you're Deshaun Watson, it's entirely plausible that you're thinking this is more of the same with the whole Bill O'Brien ilk. So I'm in for more of what I've been dealing with all of these years. Why would I want my future to be about that?
Yeah, it seems that McNair that the owner of the Texans relies heavily on relationships behind the scenes. It seems to me that maybe could explain some of this stuff. But as you both pointed out, when you hire a firm and pay them hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you go, they don't even have the guy you wound up hiring on their list. But the guy they did recommend is not only very experienced, but is a person of color. And is up for the job that is, you know, in a capacity that is where you see people of color sorely underrepresented. Obviously, your quarterback, who is same, will maybe have feelings about that. I know I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well said, Max. We got one more debate I want to get to here, guys. And this one is two of the seven quarterbacks in NFL history who have thrown for 5,000 career yards in the postseason will face off next weekend when Tampa Tom and the Bucs head to the Big Easy to face Drew Brees and the Saints, who had this to say about his upcoming opponent. Take a listen.
The minute that he signed with the Bucs and came in the division, you know, you felt like, you know, that was going to be a team to contend with. That was going to be a team that had playoff aspirations and beyond, just like us. So I guess it was inevitable.
Max, what's at stake in this Brady Breeze matchup?
Really, guys? It's not even about Brady. What's at stake is really about Drew Brees. Tom Brady's already accomplished enough to say, you can't call this season a failure. They won double-digit games. They got to the playoffs. He's 116 years old, Tom Brady. And he has six championships. Drew Brees has his best chance on paper to win a championship, maybe since the last time he won a championship. And he's got one to his name. And Brees is in that echelon of all-time quarterbacks farther down on the list. Two Super Bowls would really enhance his legacy. Tom Brady, I mean, anything he does from here on out is gravy. If he gets to the AFC Championship game, wow, what an accomplishment. And anything more than that is amazing. Drew Brees is leading maybe the best all-around team in football. Guys, the only reason I'm not taking the Saints to get out of the NFC is because if things keep progressing this way, they're going to have to go to Green Bay. If Green Bay beats the Rams, the Saints beat the Bucs, they'll have to go to Green Bay. And I don't like the Saints at Green Bay the way I would like them if they were at home. Otherwise, I'd take them to get out of the conference. So really, to me, what's at stake here is Drew Brees has a real and maybe the last opportunity to enhance his already legendary resume.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but I would say this. It's something at stake for Brady from the standpoint that, damn, you know, you're approaching the swan song, time of your career at age 43, being away from the New England Patriots, getting to the postseason, no doubt, throwing 40 touchdowns in the season. We get all of that. But you're going to lose three times to Drew Brees in the same season?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think that's a bit problematic. Now, if you split with them during the season and then you just happen to lose or whatever, you know what, it is what it is. But, you know, last time you played them, you got stomped on your home turf. I have an answer for that with Antonio Brown. That was his first game, if I remember correctly. But you got Antonio Brown with Godwin and Evans and Gronk and Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette. You got to do something. You got to do something. You know, lose because your defense can't stop Drew Brees and Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara and Emmanuel Sanders and those boys. Lose because, you know what, it's a shootout and you dropped 40, but they scored 41 or 45 or 50. But you can't get stomped the way they got stomped the last time they faced one another when they were in Tampa. And then you end up losing three games in a row, three games in the same season to Drew Brees, and no one's going to notice that. Nah, it doesn't work that way. Tom Brady's got to show up. Win, lose, or draw, he's got to show up, and they got to put some points on the board. And the loss can't be because your offense got blitzed and stomped, and you ended up going home in that fashion.
You know what? I look at it. This is good for Tom Brady, right? I think Max is right in one sense. If Tom Brady loses this, this will be a footnote to his Hall of Fame.
I agree with that.
Greatest of all time career, right? We won't even talk about it. Oh, they didn't win it that year, but they were really good. Tom Brady got them to the playoffs. We'll see what they do next year. But if you lose to the Saints throughout the season, if you lose to them twice, if you get stomped out at home in prime time for everybody to see, if everyone clearly believes that the Saints from top to bottom are a better team than you, then what better time to show the world that you're still Tom Brady? What better time to show the world that any obstacle, any mountain, anything put in front of you, you can overcome it? And by the way, now you're in an offense that's playing differently, right? You're in an offense that Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich, they understand that protecting you is the top priority. So we'll add an extra lineman and go tackle eligible, right, to keep that guy in to protect you. We'll keep Gronk in protection so we can have Evans out and so we can have Antonio Brown out and Chris Godwin. And now Antonio Brown is cooking and he's looking like a number one receiver all over again. And you get an opportunity to go to New Orleans against one of the all-time greats, Drew Brees, against one of the best defenses in the entire NFL, a defense that has totally dominated you in both attempts this year. And you get to say, you know what? I'm Tom Brady. I fix things. I fix teams. I fix offenses. I even fix myself when I need to. I'm excited to see this because he gets to write another chapter. If the chapter isn't great, I said, it'll be small. But if he wins this, we'll talk about it.
Real quick, the one thing at stake for Tom Brady is this, guys. In the AFC East, his entire career, almost 20 years, there was never another great quarterback there. Not a great one. Chad Pennington for a few years. Come on, guys. He was a nice quarterback, but give me a break. It was the weakest division for quarterbacks probably ever. The first time Brady goes to a division with another great quarterback, he loses three times to that guy? That's not good for Brady.
Already setting it up, Max Kellerman. I see you. No game I'm more excited for this weekend. But Stephen A., something else I'm excited for, because y'all know we're just living in Stephen A.'s world. So Stephen A., talk to me about your brand new show launching today, ESPN Plus. Talk to me.
I'm just going to try to have a good time. I mean, it's ESPN Plus, and anything associated with ESPN is sports related. So it's going to be a sports show. It's going to be a talk show. I'm going to do interviews. I'm going to have some fun. You will bring baby Stephen A., the Love Doctor, and other elements to the show. But on a more serious level, I'm just really, really excited about it from this standpoint. Not only am I the host But I'm the executive producer, and my production company that I started a few months ago was co-producing the show in concert with ESPN. So it's an incredible opportunity for me, something that I've worked my entire career to achieve. And I just hope that I do the job that, you know, ESPN has blessed me with the opportunity to do, and do the job to the best of my ability. That's really what it comes down to.
Good for you. Huge congrats, Stephen A. Obviously, we'll all be watching, looking forward to it. And I love that you got some ownership with it as well. All right, everybody. National championship game tonight. Can't wait to talk about it tomorrow morning. Bye.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.